Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
I want to you to turn in your Bibles again to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be back in chapter 6. Last week we started with verse 2 of chapter 6. Now I want you to go with me. We're going to drop down to verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And we'll have it on the screen as well. Start beginning verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Today, I want to minister to you on the subject of a call to consecration. A call to consecration. I also, in my notes, I actually had another title for it and that I could have easily has just said because it speaks to what we're talking about, and it is the separated life. The separated life. When you take on the subject that is before us today, I want to remind all what we're doing today is we're going to the written word and we're speaking what the Bible says. We've got to remember that God Himself has breathed the word of God that we have before us. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He told him that this is God breathed. This is God breathed. Peter said, and I say it all the time, but I say it for emphasis, lest because we live in a world where there's so many who don't believe in biblical authority, and therefore they find themselves on shifting sand because they don't have a strong foundation. But Peter said, holy men of God, moved along by the Holy Spirit, penned these words. This is God breathed. And so this particular subject of separation and consecration unto God, of holiness unto the Lord, let me just tell you about it. It's not written here so that we could, so that somebody can use it to be harsh. Let me just tell you. That's not why it's there. In fact, me preaching from here today, I don't want anybody to think, well, what he's going to say today, I wish I'd have skipped to next week and somehow mark me as an enemy to your happiness. But I want to tell you, Jesus didn't die on a cross that you'd be happy. Now, I think that may come as a surprise to some folks. But that's not why he came into this world, so that we would be happy. He came in this world because man was lost in need of a Savior. But thanks be unto God, he gives us joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us peace that surpasseth all understanding. Not like the world does he give peace, but he gives peace that has eternality infused within it. That it's not merely momentary in this life, but goes for eternity, and it's deep. Man, it's deep. It's not the momentary laughter that we will have. And the Bible does say that laughter doeth good like a medicine. And man, I like to laugh. But the reality is that all of life is not laughing. It's not a laughing matter. But here the scripture and the Apostle Paul is concerned with the church. And I just hear him say, Oh, Corinthians. In this passage, depending on the deliverer of the message here, I have heard this message delivered, and I believe the preacher was mad at everybody in the house. Have you ever heard that? I mean, like, he is mad. In fact, I listened to a message earlier this week, and I'm convinced the preacher was mad. But when I read what Paul has written here, I don't sense that at all. In fact, I sense his heart being moved by the love of God. His heart being moved by the presence of the Lord. His heart and motive was love that he had for his people in a world that is lost, in a world where sin runs rampant, in a world where people are being pulled apart by the stresses and sin of this world, and many are being dragged down into the pitfalls and the pits of this life, and it is destroying people. Jesus said that there's a broad road of destruction. But he said that's not what he came for. He came for righteousness' sake. He came for to save mankind from their souls. But he said that way is not broad, it's narrow, it's a straight way. And he said, and there's some things that are just reality that he says. It's not at all speaking it from of harshness, but it is that few there be that find this straight and narrow way. And the Apostle Paul knew the words of Jesus. And here he's talking tenderly. And I want you to read it as such. When we read it with harshness, we're reading it wrong. When we're reading it with hammering hard, we're reading it wrong. Because I want you to see it again. I want us to go back to our passage of Scripture today. I want you to see it with me here again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 when he says, "Oh, Corinthians." I want you to hear a father talking to his kids. Now, I'm not talking about a mean daddy. See, that's where we make the translation. That's where we make we fail sometimes. We're hearing somebody with a belt in their hand. "Oh, Corinthians." That's what we're hearing. But I'm talking about God is love. And Paul now is saying, "Oh, Corinthians, I want you to hear it this way. My daddy, Dennis Phillips, said, "Oh, Stephen, don't get entangled with the world. Don't get your life all messed up with these people that are running and doing all of these things that are corrupt. Please, son." That's when you read the word, that's what you got to hear. These tough words that we may struggle with as we read them, and we wonder how, but you got to remember, if it was your child and they're out there and they're about to run into a Skaggs Lake Road, And you're saying, you said, oh, son, come back. Even if you had to raise your voice, it's coming with love. You're talking to him with love. And here Paul is saying, oh, Corinthians. He's saying, we have spoken openly to you. Listen, we've shared with you. We've talked to you about all of the, and you've heard us speak and expound everything that's happened in our life. And we've been through a lot of things, but we've been openly have talked to you about this walk that we have with Christ. And we've tried to set an example for you. We have been open with you. Our heart is wide open. What he's saying is our heart is enlarged. Our heart is enlarged for you. Oh, Corinthians, our heart is enlarged. Then he said, verse 12, you are not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. And sometimes you may read this a little bit different as it's translated into our language, in our English language here. But I just want you to see it for what it says. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Meaning, they got to remember, there were people that were in that day that would question the motives of the Apostle Paul and his team. And he's saying, if you're not restricted by us in your fellowship of the Lord, but by your own affections of this world, and in this world, you've got your attention on the wrong things. And so now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children, like a father to his children. I speak to you. You also be open. He said, please be open to what I'm telling you. Son, please be, daughter, please be open to my words. Please be open. And so do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what has fellowship with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? We're going to read it again. 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He said, come out from among them, be separate. Now, this is a word that is not, I want us to understand, it's just not, it didn't just come up. This is rooted in the Old Testament. The Isaiah, in fact, from the very beginning, there's innumerable places in the scripture that call the people of God to holiness. It calls us to righteousness. I'm standing out to me right now is Leviticus 19:2, which says, be ye holy as I, even the Lord, am holy. In fact, the writing of Leviticus, the whole book is talking to people about setting themselves apart for and consecrating yourself to the glory of God with much detail and direction to that old covenant people. But we hear the prophets like Isaiah, him declaring that we need to depart from iniquity and don't touch any unclean thing, Isaiah would say. We can hear the prophets to those those that were in Babylon in captivity, as he would warn them and speak to them to not get entangled with Babylon and all the things that are going on in Babylon and that system and that worldliness that would bring destruction to their lives. He would say, separate yourself from that. In fact, God's word to Solomon when he dedicated the temple, the temple was being consecrated. It's a passage that we're familiar with, 7:14, not Kings. It's Chronicles. Yeah, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, notice here, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So we quote that quickly, and we like the part about him healing our land. Amen. Oh Lord, heal our land. But we can easily go past turn from your wicked way. See, but that is a theme that's throughout the scriptures. We're separated, we're consecrated as the people of God. And so I just want you to see that and how that stands out to us today. But it's not just Old Testament here. We're not talking about just Old Testament. We're talking New Testament. And John chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, I believe. John 15, 18 and 19, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He's saying, I've called you out of the world. We see him saying, you live in the world, but you are not to be of the world. I want us to see that again, John chapter 17, beginning with verse 13, I think down through 21. In John 17, it says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. You notice that he speaks them in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. He's talking about his disciples, his followers who are in the world and my joy being fulfilled in them. I have given them your word. This is what Jesus is praying to the Father. This is his great high priestly prayer we find in John 17. He said, I have given them your word. He's talking to the Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Say that, not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. You say, but he was here. We're here. Yeah, but we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Meaning, we're not to be controlled by the dictates of the world, but we are seeking the will of God for our lives. And so there's transformation that goes on. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He said, I don't want you to take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Go to the next verse, 16, and it tells us, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify. That means separated. I set apart myself that they also may be set apart, sanctified, separated, consecrated by the truth. Next verse, verse 20. Maybe it's not there. But here we go. There it is. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. that they all may be one. He, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So I want you just to see that. In fact, Jesus said his followers, I believe in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he tells us as followers that we are to deny ourselves. We are to take up his cross and we are to follow after him, Luke 9 and 23. So we have to deny ourselves as we are separated. Now we say, well, I don't like that verse. Well, I'm just saying, that's what he said of us. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And so this is New Testament. This is not just the Old Covenant. In fact, James said in James 1 and 27, he speaks to the same reality. He speaks there, and he speaks that also in James 4 and 4. He speaks that we're not to be entangled with the things of the world. We're not to be spotted by the world and spotted by the flesh, but we're to be purified before the Lord. That's what James declares. So I speak to you today, and I speak to myself. This is not one of them things where I'm just, listen, we're all here. Jesus was saying, we're in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. He said, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And I want my people they're in the world, but I don't want them to be of the world. He's not called us to monasticism. He's not called us to close ourselves away in a cave or a monastery. He's called us in the world because, as the last words say, he said that the world may believe that you sent me. He sent us out as salt and light into the world to make a difference in the world, that other people will come to know him. But we have to live in his will and abide in him and live for him and be consecrated to him. And so there it is. So how in the world does all this apply? What does that really mean here for us? And there's two statements I want us to make. And the first one is this. This consecrated life, this living a separated life, it is living in harmony with the passion of the heart of God for a world that is lost. It is living in harmony with the passion of the heart of God for a world that is lost. I want you to just grab hold of that for a minute. Living in harmony with God. Not in conflict with God. In harmony with him. He wants us to be followers of him for his purpose. He said, follow me, Matthew 4:19, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, because God is passionate about people. He's passionate, and he wants us to be passionate about people and their need of him. That's what he's called us to. And I want you to see this second statement I want to make here. It is this. Consecration and being set apart, the separated life, it is investing every day to the glory of God in a commitment to live in his authority and power without reservation. Again. It is investing every day to the glory of God in a commitment to live in his authority and power without reservation. He wants us to be committed to that. Invest our life in that. And you say, well, that's a lot. Well, what the reality is, he wants me to be a Christian. Do you know that terminology, Christian? Christians didn't start calling themselves Christians? the world called the church Christians. They were followers of Christ. And so it was the world that did that, that they took note. In fact, to the church of Antioch there in the first century, these are they who have turned the world upside down. You see, because basically the world was being turned right side up. But in their view, it was messing with them. Because, to be honest, outside of a relationship with God, we love sin. The Bible says that it's pleasurable for a season, for a time. Paris Reed went into missions and found out where God had sent him. He said, I went there and found that the people that God had sent me to preach the gospel to were sinners and loved their sin, and they didn't want what I had to tell them. That does happen. Doesn't mean it's not. He still preached with love. He still preached with passion. He was aligned with God. But he found that, see, in our sin, we can love it, man. So I ain't sitting here and tell you that there's not some pleasure in that. But I'm telling you is this. This is not the way that he wants his people to engage. In fact, sin is why he had to come in this world. Sin is what the reason he died upon a cross. Therefore, you and I need to think about the reality of how much we need to hate sin. That's why he had to come. You'd say, but man, again, you've been an enemy to my happiness today. Well, I want to tell you, if your happiness is in this world, you've already found out it's temporary. Man, that thing is done with that last drink that gave you a hangover. That thing was done when that thing got a hold of your parents and they became abusive in your home. They couldn't hold down a job because they had entrenched their life in sin. You realize how dangerous it is. That's why the scripture says abstain from the very appearance of sin. The very appearance of it. Just because it's not how close can I get to the world. Don't worry, I'm not going to follow y'all. Famous last words, you know. I've got a size 12 and most all it was off. But it's not how close I can get to the world without and still be a Christian. It's about how far can I get from even being close to that for whom my Savior was crucified. And we're in the world. Anybody that comes along and preaches on holiness and it just becomes a works-based religious stuff and legalism, that's as wrong as sin is. It's not his plan. Listen, the Pharisees were eat up with that. They dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. If holiness is just about you talking about who's not doing something, then your heart ain't right. When it becomes to picking apart other people about every detail of their life, we missed it. We missed the whole point. But I want to tell you, holiness, sanctification is about separating myself for the purposes of Christ in this world. And I want to live for Him because He died for me and He first loved me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me and I want to live my life for Him. I want to give my whole heart to Him and I want to be pleasing to the Lord with a life of faith. So it's not just about a list somewhere, but it's about him, he who first loved us. It's about loving him in return and being obedient to him in every possible way that we can, and walking and becoming more like Jesus every day. And then I want to tell you, when we're walking in that kind of harmony, and when we're investing our lives and commitment to the glory of God in our life, then we'll find a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Oh, it's full of glory. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. That's where that comes from, man. Down deep. And then you can sing that little kid's song. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I just can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. And then I can sing, he gives me peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. That's it. Verse 14, and this is just, I'll close with just telling you these few things, and I could spend more time than that. But verse 14, again, this is how it's practically lived out. Verse 14, he says, this is not important. I mean, this is not unimportant here. We need to hear this. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What that means is, don't entangle yourself in your life as a believer with the world. Meaning, it does mean this. Believers should not marry an unbeliever. You would say, well, I know, I did, but they got saved and all that. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for his miracle. I want to say that. That's a miracle. What you've seen is a miracle of grace. Again, he didn't throw you away, but I'm just telling you, that's not what his will is. Also, just think about it for a moment. I'm just saying, we've got to think about how this unequally yoked thing plays out in all of life. If I own a business, I'm not talking about me working for another man. I'm not doing that. We are to live as Christ out in the world. But if I am own my own business, and I go into business with somebody who is not a believer, and then I want in my business to tithe to the Lord, but then I've entangled myself with an unbeliever who don't want to do that. Do you see, you understand the conflict? I'm not going to go into, I just wanted to give a couple of illustrations because that's what he does. He said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It entangles. It can create this huge mess. And there is an enemy. This is a father talking to his children. He's saying, I don't want you to get all tangled up and get in a mess. But then I notice he refers, verse 16, I believe, to this being the temple. So let's live unto the Lord. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, such as your reasonable service. use this body for service in His kingdom. And remember that is to be consecrated to Him, is to be an offering, is to be a worship to Him. God help us. God help us. I just want to go to that last verse again. Verse 18, I believe it is, in our text, 2 Corinthians, in our text. Because what we see is here, we see the reward here. Verse, let's go to 17. It said, come out from among them and be a separate. That's His appeal, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive. Do you see? And I will receive you. This is New Testament now. I will receive you. Verse 18. He said, I'll be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He said, I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you. He's just quoting. He's quoting what the Lord is saying here. But I want to tell you today, the Lord loves us in this room. He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. And He wants you and I to respond to His call of consecration. He wants us to live a life of separation. He wants us to live a life that is totally in harmony with Him and invested in who He is, in His plan. He wants us to make a difference in this world. And I just want to share that with you in the most loving way that I felt like I could today. God is holy. And may we live our life consecrated to His holiness. And in so doing, we find purity in Him. Why would He do all this? Why does the Old Testament say this? Why does the New Testament say this? What is the motive? What is God's motive for all of this? It's to preserve you. It is to purify you. It is to protect you. It is to love you. Father, we commit ourselves to You and to Your hands today, and we magnify You, God. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed in this room, if you're in this room today and you'd said, and you know in your heart, I need to give my life, surrender my life to Jesus Christ, would you slip up your hand if that's you today? Thank you for that. Just keep it lifted for just a moment. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Anyone else, you'll slip up your hand and say, that's me today. That's me today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Anybody else, you'll slip up your hand. So that's me today. I want to give my life to Him. I want to submit my life to Him. I want to make sure I'm right with Him today. I think I've seen four hands already lifted in the place today. I want to tell you today, the Scriptures tell us that we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn from our sins. But this is what we're to do. We are to confess our sins. With the mouth, make confession unto God concerning our sins. Confess the fact that we are sinner in need of a Savior. And if you'll believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll profess Him with your mouth, and believe in your heart, not just with some kind of lip service only, but you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved today. And I would love to meet you here following this service or even in the days to come. We have baptism next Sunday, the third. You can sign up online. Any of you that have been saved in the last weeks or months and have not been baptized, I call upon you to follow the Lord in baptism and identification with Jesus Christ, to live your life for Him. And I say to all this local assembly today, this congregation of the flock of God in this room that know the Lord, may you consecrate your life to Him today anew. So, Lord, I want to live for You. I want to live for You and please You in every way and be in harmony with You and invest and commit my life to what You are committed to, oh God, in this world, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.